So we are in our part three of this series called Uncomfortable. And if you are part of Good News Church, one of our values as a church is uncomfortable. It's being uncomfortable. It's really like one of the beautiful values that we have at Good News Church because, you know, there are things that will feel and bring us uncomfortable, will make us uncomfortable, and we know how to rely on the grace of God even for moments of there are like uncomfortable. And specifically, we are talking about some topics that it's really uncomfortable to talk about. And if we can just like skip those topics and just go, yeah, to the love and mercy and you know, hope. But as you know, everything that God left us in His Word, the Apostle Paul said that we can learn. Right? We can learn with everything that was given to us in God's letter of love that He left us, which is the Bible. So last week, Drew, he talked about this uncomfortable thing called sin, right? We all know about it. We all have it. I call it the monster within that we all have it. We have this capable monster within each one of us. And if you don't believe that, just maybe ask the person right beside you, and they will go like, yes, you do, you do. Yeah, there is a monster, you know, within that hopefully doesn't come very often, but it does come. And he talked about that last week. It's really like the condition that we were born, right? I mean, Psalms 51:5 talks about the fact that, you know, I was born a sinner. You know, our little Lucas, you know, the first day that he arrived brought a lot of joy to our hearts. But we knew right there, sitting in that cute little clothing and, you know, in our new room, we knew that, you know, here is a little sinner right there just waiting to express himself in so many ways, right? And as we grow up, we express that in many different, you know, ugly ways. But we were born like that. And that explains why all of us need Jesus so much, right? That explains why Jesus had to come to give us life. Life that we were not born with that life. We were born breathing, you know, but the life of God in us, the life that gives us a provision for the monster sin that it's inside of each one of us. Another, you know, great portion of scripture that give us conviction about the fact that, yes, we were born in quite a situational way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says this, once, and it's talking about Christians here, Christians that have maybe, you know, got to know Jesus, right, and in the plan of salvation in Jesus. And Paul said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, and we all are part of that, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. That's what God's word tells us about this enemy that we all have called the devil. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So it's already terrible, the condition that we were born in sin. But there is a leader leading the parade of sinners. And the Bible calls him the devil, right? And he is a spirit. It's unseen. But he is leading and putting more like fire, more like wood in the fire of our, you know, sin nature that we all have, but also in the world that we live. All of us, God's Bible says, all of us used to live like that. In that way, following the passionate desire and inclinations of our sinful nature. All of us. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. See, the reason why we believe this, it's because God's word teaches us. It's because Jesus taught us these things as well about our nature and how we were born with. And again, you know, that gives us a good, clear picture why we need Jesus and why we need fellowship with Jesus Christ. So it's not, you know, big news, the fact that we are sinners. You know, we were born in this depraved-like state. If you don't believe that and are not convicted of that by God's word, you can just turn on the TV. You can just, you know, scroll down in your favorite, like, social media, and you will see, you know, the monster sin in action. I mean, this week, I don't know if you saw this big headline, but this was the headline. If you can put that headline, depravity. Of course, you know, picking something that was happening, it's happening right now in the Middle East. Blinken reacts to horrific images of Hamas atrocities against innocent Israeli babies. You know, it shows how man in his, you know, nature, he is depraved, right? And that's why man needs all of us need Jesus in the provision that are in Jesus for our sins. So today, of course, we are so thankful for God's love. We are so thankful for God's plan that gave us Jesus so that, you know, through his sacrifice on the cross, we have this opportunity to be a new person, to get a new life, to be born again. If you are born again, if you have experience like believing in Jesus, receiving him in your life as a Savior, you have this opportunity to become like a new person with a new hope, a person that is now learning and developing muscles of not being controlling by your own, like, nature that you were born in, but now being controlled by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Each one of us who received Jesus Christ, he gave us. Jesus said, you know, I'm coming, I'm going, but I'm going to leave with us my Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he will lead us in this world, and he will be with you, and he will make you grow in truth. Right? The Holy Spirit does that in each one of us. And we are very thankful that we do not have to live anymore under the power of monster sin inside of us. You don't have to. I don't have to. And that's good news. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because of the power that we have in Jesus Christ. So, this morning, you know, the fact that we are all sinners, it's not big news. Drew talked about that. You know, that we have this predisposition to, you know, do something that it's not what we, you know, wanted to do in the first place. You know, a skill to, like, miss the target and miss it so much that it end up, like, hurting others and hurting ourselves. That's not the really big news. The big news this morning that I want to talk about, it's the news of not living under death anymore, but living under a redeemed position that we can have in Christ Jesus. Living our lives in the victory, submitted to God's Spirit, and not under the control of the enemy, the devil, you know, reinforcing our old sin nature that we carry, each one of us. So today, you know, the question that I want to talk about is, like, you know, how do we deal with that? You know, do we know how to, you know, the fact that we are going to sin, we are going to make mistakes, it's a fact, right? All of us. Even today, I hate to say that, but Maybe today, even on the way home today, you were not planning, but you're going to make a mistake and you're going to sin, right? But again, the question that I want to talk about today, it's like, how can we quickly rebound? How can we quickly practice this spiritual discipline called repentance? Repentance. Christians who know this discipline, they are better Christians. Not better because they have anything in themselves, but because they are tapping into, you know, a power that gives them an opportunity to live their lives in a much greater way than someone that doesn't know this discipline. The discipline of repentance. We need that because we know how to sin. We know how to make mistakes that later on we regret about them, but we should know and be good also in practicing repentance. And again, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? And that's why we're talking about. That is uncomfortable. It's hard. It takes like humility. It takes like courage from all of us. So my goal this morning, you know, with a few more minutes here. You know, my goal is to encourage us to be up to date in our confession and in our practice of true repentance. And up to date, it's important. I grew up Catholic, and I remember how hard it was for me to go to confess my sins once a year. I don't know if you grew up Catholic, but oh my gosh, I remember, you know, just going there to see the priest, it was so hard. It was like, you know, here I am carrying, you know, 1 year of like sin, you know, and every time I left that place, worse that I went there to do what I had to do, because I didn't have time to tell everything. I didn't have time. I mean, it's like, and I just told him, you know, the ones that I thought wasn't so like ugly, right? I left the ugly ones, you know, hidden under the table. And then, you know, I was supposed to go there, confess, and leave that place like free. And that was not what is taking place. But thank God, once again, for the plan that Jesus Christ had for us in this area. That me and you can go to God because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus that was offered, you know, in the place of each one of us as a provision for our sins. And the promise that we have from God and from Scriptures is that in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all our sins were paid. Past, present, and even the ones that me and you, we are going to commit. It was paid by the blood of Jesus. And He wants us to learn how to live in this new reality in repentance, confession, and repentance. It's a very, very important thing. So confession, it's this word in the Greek, homologeo, I think I have a slide here. And confession means, you know, that you say the same thing or you agree with. So when I am confessing, you know, my sins, I am saying the same thing that God is saying about it. It is sin. You know, I did something that I should not. I hurt God first, and then I hurt someone else or myself in the equation. So I agree. I confess. I say, God, do you know what? It is what it is. You know? But our homologeo, our confession, you know, should follow with repentance. And this is the word that I want to spend a little time this morning talking about true repentance, this great discipline. And before I talk about that, you know, let's talk about what it's not really true repentance. towards our sins. True repentance, it's not just like, I regret for it, and we should. It's not just like, I'm sorry, and we should be sorry. It's not just like being remorseful for what we did, and that is part as well. It's definitely not the attitude that so many times we have of, my bad, I'm so sorry. And you know, we should. Sometimes, you know, we think that it is like, well, we all make mistakes, and, you know, I'm just like anybody else. Yeah, you are stating something that it's true. But repentance, you know, goes way, way deeper than that. It's not just like, you know, okay, I promise you, I'm going to try harder the next time. You know, it's not just that. And it's not punishing ourselves as well. It's not inflicting wounds in ourselves as a response to, you know, our sins. True repentance, it's this word in Hebrew, teshuvah, it's the way that I would say in Portuguese, but I guess the Hebrew, I don't speak Hebrew, so it's yuva, something like that. If you go in the Google, they will speak in Hebrew for you with Google repentance, and you will learn the word. But this word, it's more than a feeling. It's more than a state of mind. It is an action. It is a decision. It is literally deciding to turn from where you are going, in the direction that you are going, and moving back towards God, towards what He was saying in the first place. It's turning away from darkness in moving in the direction of light. It's turning back around, and this turning can be, you know, physically, it can be emotionally, it can be spiritually, and sometimes it needs to be even geographically as well. True repentance, sometimes from God in our lives, it's going to make us turn physically, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes even like geographically. True repentance, it's a continuous decision to return to God, to return to God's plan, to return to an opportunity of having a new beginning with God. And that's what I love. That's what I love. See, you know, it's not big news this morning, the fact that, yes, we're going to continue to make mistakes. We're going to continue to hurt people. And you know, and hopefully we are growing. Hopefully we are walking towards God more and more and forsaking what is hurtful and what is part of our, you know, the nature that we were born in. Hopefully. But yes, you know, 1 John says, like, if you sin, and we do sin, what do we do? We confess our sins. We say the same thing that God says. Yes, it is sin. And we repent. We turn around. And then we have this opportunity to start afresh, to start new with God. And I don't know about you, but I remember one person long, long time ago saying, like, wow, if it is that easy, you know, if it is just like confessing and turning around, you know, I'm going to just keep on sinning because, you know, what's the difference? I can just, like, when I need, confess. But this is the truth about true repentance, is that the more that me and you walk towards God and God's plan and God's will, the further away you are from your sin, from your desires. So the more that we walk towards Him, the further we become from the things that we knew so well, you know, that used to be the way that we lived, used to be the way that we thought, but it's not anymore, because now I'm learning to think with God. I'm learning to think with Jesus Christ. So the purpose of repentance in our lives, it's really like transformation. It's really to be transformed. It's really to grow in that area that, you know, I'm experiencing like victory day by day. And I'm growing in that victory. So the purpose of true repentance, it's transformation and not just us, you know, making like an apologetic confession. And there is a good example of transformation in the story of Joseph. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Joseph and his brothers. It's a little extended story. It goes from Genesis 37, chapter 37, to Genesis chapter 50. If you have an opportunity to read, it's going to be like your favorite story as well. It's a great story. But there is a great example of transformation here. And just quickly, I just wanted to, you know, talk about that for a minute here. You remember, and if you don't, please go read that full story. Joseph, he was betrayed, sold into slavery, abandoned by his brothers, his own brothers. But many years after, God, he flipped the script completely on his brothers. Joseph is now the second most important, powerful man in Egypt. And meanwhile, his brothers need to come to Egypt for help, you know, due to a hunger, due to a drought that was happening in the land. But they did not recognize Joseph. And this mystery about, you know, allowed Joseph to test his brothers again just to see if they had changed. Just to see if there was any real, like, repentance towards what they did to him. And just as they betrayed him, Joseph, he gives, you know, his brother another opportunity to betray, but now they were going to betray his little youngest brother, Benjamin. And Benjamin was held responsible for a crime, you know, while the older brothers, they were permitted to leave from Egypt. But what happened was that, you know, at this time, the brothers, they passed the test. At this time, they didn't just like left and left the younger brother there. This time, you know, the brothers, they refused to leave Benjamin behind. And Judah, the oldest one, the one that actually, you know, had the idea to offer and to do what they did to Joseph, you know, Judah offered his life and his freedom in place of Benjamin. Judah, who was the one who came up with the idea to sell Joseph, now he is displaying courage and selflessness. And Joseph, at that time, reveal himself to them after seeing the transformation. You know, probably the years of remorse for what they did, the suffering from, you know, Joseph's dad that they saw daily, you know, the remorse. But here they had an opportunity and they did the right thing. And they turned their way. And Joseph, you know, revealed himself to them. More than just like remorse, they showed transformation that happened in their lives. And that's this word for repentance, the teshuva. It's returning to what is right. It's returning to what is pure. It's returning to innocence, the original plan of God, to live with God, to follow Him, and to obey Him. 3 points about true repentance. Number one, it's always a good time to repent. It's never too late for you to repent. And even if you are here today, and even if it was something that happened long time ago that you know that you are still like dealing with, it's never too late. Forgiveness, it's always on the table. But we got to reach for it. We got to reach for it. 2 Corinthians, I love 2 Corinthians 6:22. It says, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation of what? For some of us, maybe here today, salvation of being held by something that you did or something that someone did to you. And what I love about the provision of the cross, Jesus paid for everything that me and I will do. He paid for our sins, but Jesus also paid for the sins of people that will commit them against you. It is the same provision. It is the same blood that God wants you to use so that you can be set free, so that you can be saved. So point one, it's always a good time to repent. Point number two, God is always ready to take us back. He is the Father in the prodigal son story with his arms open to receive his son. The only thing that he needs to do is to come back. It's to return to him. And that's how God is concerning me and you. He's just waiting with his arms open for us to come to him and find in him a provision for our wrongdoings, for our sin. I love, love, love 1 John 1:9, 8 and 9. It was one of the first verses that I learned as a young guy to memorize, and probably because I need it very much, because I was I need it very much at that time. It says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous, so that he will forgive our sins and he will clean us from all the unrighteousness. God is faithful even when we are not. Even when somebody is not faithful, God is faithful to provide us with forgiveness. And not only that, but to clean us from all that junk that we got ourselves in. God is capable, and he wants to do that. And I love, love that. I love Proverbs 28:13 that, show us the power of confession and the power of repentance. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. And sometimes we just need to look at our own lives. And maybe, the prosperity that you want hasn't realized because of concealing something that God wants you to give it to him. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. God's promise to all of us. They will receive mercy. And then point number three. A point that was always part of Jesus' ministry. It was applied to the crippled man. It was applied to the Samaritan. It was applied to the woman that was caught in adultery. It was applied to the rich man that had an encounter with Jesus. And every other person that was in touch with Jesus during his ministry, they were met with forgiveness. But also they were met with instruction. And the instruction was in John 8:11 with the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. I do not condemn you, Jesus said, but go and live in the victory that I'm going to give you to live. It's not that Jesus was asking her it's not that she wasn't going to sin anymore in her life. But it was that now she knew the provision that she had in Jesus for her sins. That she could come back in. That she could confess. And she could repent. And boy, I love that. I love, when I look in my own life, I love the fact that, I have been set free of many areas that was very stinking to me. And thank God for that. And I'm still dealing with some areas that it is very stinky to me, you know, to confess and say, God, yes, this is ugly. And to turn around and walk towards Him. Towards Him. So there are many areas that we have had victory and we are living to this day in victory in Jesus. You know, we are not going back there anymore. He has set us free. And there are areas that we are still, you know, working on it, right? All of us. But the provision is the same. The Savior is the same. The blood was the same that we have for our sins. And I love that. I wish, again, I wish that this area of the Christian life was an area that I could put on the automatic pilot. I wish that I could decide today, you know, let me turn on this button of like repentance and I'm going to be, you know, and I'm going to be repented forever. No, we know that it's something that it's ongoing. We know that there is no like automatic pilot. There is no button. It is us presenting ourselves daily and saying, God, help me. God, I need you. It's not just because you became a Christian that, you know, yes, you have the provision for your sins once and for all, but you are living life. And hopefully you are living life submitted to God and God's Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are living life in the victory over our sins and not under His dominion and His direction. That's why Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, you know what? I die daily. You know, Matthew 16:24, it says, you know, I take my cross daily. And that's an invitation from the Savior for all of us. Dying daily, it's like I am, you know, experiencing the provision that I have from the cross. I am embracing the cross. His cross is my cross. So it's kind of like, yes, I'm crucified with Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:2. I'm dying daily. I'm dying for what? I'm dying for that which I thought was me. That which I thought was the right thing to do sometimes. I'm dying in obedience to the cross, in obedience to Jesus Christ. I love Steve Brown, this quote from Steve Brown that Drew shared with me when he knew I was preaching this topic. He says, repentance is a change of attitude. It is a change of mind. That's what the Greek word means. It's not often what we think. It's not stopping being what we can't stop. But it is knowing who you are and who God is, where you have gone and what you have done. And it is agreeing with God about it. And then he goes on to say, and some people think that, you know, when you do that, that you are all set and done. But that's not the truth. The struggle from that keeps on going on. You are still making decisions daily to submit yourselves to God, to walk in the light, to walk in the provision. And if you sin, and we all do, we are quick to rebound. We confess our sins. We repent. If we need to go to someone, we go. If someone should come to us, but they don't, Jesus has come to us even when they don't. So that we are not held by what someone did to us, but that we can be set free by the blood of Jesus. And I love that. I love that. So for us as a church this morning, and I'm finishing here, as uncomfortable as it is, we do well by practicing repentance. You know, the monster sin doesn't have to have dominion over us anymore, because inside of us live another king. His name is Jesus. And we are learning daily to submit to him. We are learning daily to feed ourselves with his word so that we can be empowered to walk life in the power of God, in the power of Jesus. And that it's a much better life to live for. And if you don't mind, I would like to finish with these two portions of scripture here that it's like beautiful. And the first one, it's Psalms 32. And Psalms 32 goes like this. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Picture that. Yes, what a joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. What a joy. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. I have been there. I groan all day. I have been there. Day and night, your hand, God's hand of discipline, was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confess all my sins to you, and I stop trying to hide all my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All of guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protected me from trouble. You surrounded me with songs of victory. Verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. What a provision for the sinners. What a provision for you and me. Do not be like a senseless horse and mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord, the verse that we opened today. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all of you who obey him. Shout for joy, all of you whose hearts are pure. And then we'll finish with Ephesians 2. We read the bad part in the beginning, and here's the good part from verse 4 on. But God, who is rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and sit us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew so that we can go and do the things that God has planned for us long, long ago. Folks, it is a beautiful thing to be set free. It is a beautiful thing to be growing in the grace and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful thing to practice spiritual disciplines that can make our lives better. I'm not just like a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect, but I know the one who is perfect, and I am following him. When I make a mistake, I confess to him. I confess to whosoever I hurt as well. And I go, oh Lord, help me. Help me to turn around and change. Help me to march back towards you. And I promise you, the more that you do that, the more that you get better at doing that, and the worse you get from doing what in the first place was shameful for you to do. I love that. That's God's plan for our lives. We can enjoy that. See, that headline, depravity, would be so much different if God's creation, all of us, would embrace the cross, the provision for our sins. The cross is for everybody. The cross is the provision from the Creator of the universe for all of us to live a new life and be victorious in that new life and to produce fruit that it's pleasing to God and it's a blessing to everybody around us. So let's go and practice, you know, this discipline of repentance, and may God help us in the process. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the uncomfortable things that we read. And here we are, Father, we are all sinners, saved by the grace of God. But Father, from time to time, and even I hope not, but even today, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to sin. But Lord, oh Lord, help us. Help us to quickly agree with you. Help us to quickly turn around and walk towards you. Help us, Lord, in the power of Jesus. In the power of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And if you are here today, and I don't know, and maybe you are being held captive by your own offense or what somebody else did to you, I just want to say to you, there is power to free you today. And it is in Jesus. It is on the cross of Calvary. Embrace it. Believe it. Let him cleanse you, clean you completely, and walk in the victory that it is in Jesus through true repentance in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this good news this morning. Amen. Thank you.